You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Here we are, episode 66.
Ooh, your lips are on fire.
That's what I'm saying. They're flaming, brother.
Flaming lips. Is your shame.
That's good shit,
right?
Great
album.
Yeah.
She's a black belt in karate.
That's good shit, man.
Oh, man.
My daughter was like 6 years old. My wife has audio of her like singing the song.
No way.
In her bathroom when she was getting ready.
At six years old?
She didn't know anybody was listening, and my daughter or my wife taped it.
You are raising a very cultured family.
That's what I'm saying, brother.
That your six-year-old daughter is singing the Flaming Lips.
What happened to me, though?
I have no idea.
What happened to me?
Well, you're passing it all along.
Somebody forgot to do it to me. So.
It skips a generation. Like, your dad was clearly. Probably super cool.
Oh, yeah, no, he was great.
And then there's you.
And then what's, yeah.
And then there's your daughter who's
clearly.
Marching out of schools and singing the Flaming Lips.
So, two peas on a podcast. Welcome in. Gerald is here.
Andy is across from Gerald.
Yoshimi is here. Pink robots are here. And we're going to get into
some
stuff this week.
She's a black belt in karate, man.
That's what I heard. She's working for the city. We're going to get into some topics today, brother, as we always do. We get together, we talk about what's happened in the past week.
Do we?
So, well, I think we do. Okay. If memory serves. Is that what we do?
I just show up.
How you doing, man? What's going on last week, bro? It's fucking snowing outside.
It's snowing. It's the second day of spring.
Tell everyone. It's the second day of spring. It's March.
Yesterday
21st,
was the vernal equinox.
I don't know what that means. It sounds
sexy,
though. It's
the spring equinox.
Though.
It's when there's exactly the same amount of sunlight as there is darkness in our hemisphere.
It sounded very sexual to me. What did you say? What is it?
The vernal equinox.
That sounds very sexual to me. Goodness. I don't know why. It's not sexual in any way, is it?
No. I mean, well, it's spring, and spring is about new life.
Yeah.
That's why we have symbols
new
like
birth.
The bunny, the egg, the star, Easter.
Well,
you
bunny
know?
And egg's not really sexual to me.
Bunnies are known for their massive reproduction.
A vernal.
Eggs are new life.
A vernal equinox kind of sounds like a sexual position to me.
Does it?
I don't know.
Hey, honey, tonight I thought we'd try the old vernal equinox.
I heard the vernal equinox is really taking the world by storm. You want to try it? Yes. Hop on up. Here we go.
But
get
it's,
see what I did there?
I had a good week. What
good.
Did I do? I didn't do much. I mean, I just been hanging out, drinking coffee.
I hadn't done shit.
Reading books.
Wow,
learning things in my
I actually
head,
saw you on, saw a picture of you actually drinking coffee, reading a book.
Yeah.
You put on Facebook.
Yeah.
Wow, you really shared that with the world, brother.
I did.
I felt like I was there, man.
Well, I was there on my porch and I was reading a theology text
of course
by
you
Carl
were.
Rahner.
Of course you
and
were.
And I just thought, I was like, this theology is so sexy. I just love it. I had to share that with the world.
I don't know about that, brother, but it was sexy seeing you reading it.
Yeah, I mean.
What did I do? I don't think I did anything.
You asking me? I don't know.
Do you know what I did? I don't think I did anything. I just woke up, actually, since the last time
you
were here.
But that's congratulations. You woke up.
Again,
good day.
Another day, brother.
Above
can you believe
ground,
it's snowing, though?
It's
weird.
Snowing today. The second
so
day
weird.
Of spring, it's snowing.
It's
here
strange.
In North Carolina.
It's not going to stick to the ground.
It's beautiful, though.
Or
because it's a
street.
Constant reminder that life is unpredictable. A constant reminder that
yeah, I was
spring
afraid.
Is not what you think it's going to be.
You know, you're such a deep guy. I was afraid you were going to want a podcast from the snow today, like out in the snow.
Yeah, we could
but
do that. It was beautiful coming in.
I don't know if my equipment would hold up out there.
Did you watch Stranger Things?
Of course I did.
Watching the snow this morning reminded me of being in the Upside Down because it's always like ash in the air or something.
Interesting.
Because the snow was falling very lightly.
I could see that.
Like slowly. So I was looking around like, I'm in the Upside Down. You know?
Nothing real. I got nothing really to report. I am going to the dentist today. I'm excited about that. I haven't been. I'm overdue. I haven't been in like
been
4 or 5 months.
Years.
Yeah, that's a problem. We need
yeah,
to figure that out. Yeah, the insurance?
I don't have insurance. That's the problem.
You want to come with me to mine? See if they'll fit you in?
Yeah.
You could just be me. You just pose as me.
Yeah, hey, I'm Gerald.
You know, you could just stand in for me. So, what happened in the world this week, though?
Now, a couple things are happening in the world.
In America, I should say. I don't really care what goes on in the rest of the world. I'm just kidding.
That's very American.
We have listeners around the world.
American,
I'm just kidding, guys.
Very American thing to say.
Don't take that personal, friends internationally. So, listen. Here in America, though, big time stuff. The Sweet 16 is set, brother, for March
Sweet
Madness.
16. My alma mater is in the Sweet 16.
Who the fuck's your little big
Loyola.
Guess?
I went to Loyola in Chicago.
How about that, brother?
They are in the Sweet 16. I didn't even know they had a basketball team.
How about that?
I had no idea. Like someone
know,
told me, hey,
I know.
You know Loyola's in? I was like, they don't have a basketball team.
That's the Cinderella story. They are the highest rated seed. They're 11 seed, and they made it into Sweet 16.
Damn, man.
So let's see. Here's your Sweet 16.
Tell me the Sweet 16.
All right, here we go. And then we'll give a prediction.
Are we going to predict? Do you have a bracket? Do you do that stuff? You bracket out?
Of course I do, but it's fucking destroyed.
You have UNC winning every year?
I always pick one where UNC wins. So I have that one, and then I have one that's a little more, you know, less biased, I should say.
Okay.
So, but both of mine are out. Because in my other one, I guess if you want to call it my real one, not my fan one, but my real one, I had Michigan State winning, and they lost too.
Is UNC still in
Virginia's
it?
Out. They were in my final four.
Is UNC
four.
Still in it?
No, they're out.
UNC's out?
Yeah, all the high seeds are out.
Is Duke out?
No, Duke's still in it.
Okay.
Duke's a two seed.
Will you go for Duke?
No, God no.
Well, come on. No. You're from North Carolina.
No shot in hell, brother. There's no way in hell. I don't want to get myself in trouble here, but I would probably root for ISIS over Duke. Okay.
Today, in the ACC finals, Duke versus ISIS. And there's one guy in the fandom.
Okay. With an ISIS I'd be up there wearing a turban. Duke sucks on the turban. That'd be me.
Terrible.
All right. Here's your Sweet 16.
Okay.
Kansas State and Kansas, both of them are in it. Kentucky. Villanova.
Villanova's
actually
been really good for the last couple years.
Villanova's been good. They're actually the only one seed remaining. Yeah. Can you believe that? All the one seeds are out except for Villanova. West Virginia, you mentioned Loyola Chicago, which is an 11 seed. So far, they are the Cinderella story. Nevada, Texas Tech, Purdue, Florida State, Gonzaga. Still the funnest to say.
Gonzaga.
It's the funnest to say, right?
Hey, what school did you go to? Gonzaga.
Clemson, Michigan, Clemson. Texas A&M, Duke, and Syracuse.
Ooh.
There's your Sweet 16. The games start on tomorrow, on Thursday.
Yes.
So what do you got? You want to take a stab at it? Who do you think is going to be cutting down the nets?
Okay.
What do you think?
I think this year, I'm going to go Villanova.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I'm going Villanova. I was thinking Duke or Villanova. Duke always has a chance.
Duke has a chance.
He's an amazing coach. I'm going to go Villanova this year.
Duke has a chance. I think,
stab in the dark, because I really don't know much about it, but they've been good for the last couple years.
I really don't know either, man. This is a weird tournament so far. All the big guys are getting knocked out, but I'm going to go...
Loyola, Chicago.
No, I don't think...
Texas A&M.
That would be an amazing story, but I don't think they're going to make it. I'm going to say, my heart kind of says... Michigan. I think Michigan's going to... They just had that buzzer beater win. And
those
they
got Wolverines.
Kind of riding motion. But I want to tell you guys to watch out for Syracuse. Because they are kind of taking care of business. And they barely made it into the tournament. They were one of the teams on the fence. They weren't even supposed to make it in.
I remember when Syracuse won the NCAA a while ago.
Oh, yeah. With Carmelo Anthony.
With Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, it was like 10 years ago.
With the Mello.
I don't know. I'm going to say either Michigan or Syracuse.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say. So we'll come back around. You said Villanova, which is a very strong prediction. Did you see that the first time ever in the history of college basketball, brother, 135 games in the March Madness, the first time a 16 seed beat a number one seed.
See, I'm shocked that that's never happened before. So
I gotta be honest,
number
brother.
One always beats number 16.
Oh, fucking, yeah, until this week.
And crazy. Not just a number one seed, number one overall.
Oh, yeah. And not just beat them, they fucking slaughtered them. They won by 20 points.
And what team was this?
It was UMBC, which is Maryland, Baltimore County. It's literally like a community college.
And they lost the next game, right? They're out of it now?
Yeah, they're out now.
That's
too bad. But to do that, brother, be the team that... Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's going to be... The story behind that school and that game, that's going to be a 30 for 30 on ESPN.
You think so?
That's going to be talked about for years, brother.
Yeah.
Because that's never happened. And I got to be honest, I don't see it ever happen again. I never thought I would see it happen.
Yeah.
Never. And I listen to a lot of sports radio and stuff, and people are just like flabbergasted. I mean, they don't even know what to say about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're having to look up this school's Wikipedia page because they don't even know who they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was did you see any of the...
No.
I mean, it wasn't really like an exciting game because, like I said, they beat the crap out of them.
Out of Virginia, right?
Yeah, and Virginia was just such a good... Virginia's opponents this year averaged 56 points.
Okay.
Virginia had one of the stoutest defenses.
Yeah.
And UMBC scored like 76. A 16 seed. Just made him look horrible, brother.
Interesting. I wonder what happened. I don't know, man.
But
honestly, I don't follow a lot of sports, but that's my favorite thing about sports is that every game is a game. And it's not predicted. You never know who's going to win. You never know what's going to happen. What elements are going to be at play. So, I mean, it's exciting.
Well, I know you're more of an NFL guy than a basketball guy, but I love college basketball, man. March Madness really gets me going.
March Madness is one of the coolest times of the sports year.
Yeah, it's just cool. Kind of think about your college days, and those kids are doing it for the love of the game.
I like single elimination. I do also like single elimination. Yeah. I'm a big NBA basketball fan. Actually, it's my favorite sport.
I like NBA too.
But I mean, once you get to the playoffs, they're playing seven game
right, best of seven, right?
All the way through, and by the end, you're just bored. You know?
Right. It's like, okay. So, all right. Well, there we go. The P's have given their predictions for March Madness for the Final Four. And
predictions. P-dictions.
I'm going to say, that sounds dirty as well. P-dictions with the vulva equinox. What'd you say it was? What's it called?
The vernal.
Oh, vernal. I'm sorry.
Vernal.
Vulva equinox is dirty. That's something completely different, brother, that I know nothing about. All right. So we said, I said Syracuse and or, I kind of cheated. I said
You cheated.
Michigan, and you said Villanova.
Ah, the Villa.
So we'll see what happens there.
The Villa.
All right, so Sweet 16.
The Villanova Villains.
Enjoy the games this weekend. All right, well, how about this one? We actually mentioned Sex and the City last week. I don't remember why. I think we were talking about The Sopranos or something like that.
Were we?
Yeah. But anyway, you said your wife
watched
it. No,
we mentioned that because Sex and the City came out with a couple movies that actually did pretty well.
That's right.
Yeah,
and you mentioned your wife watched it.
My wife watched the whole series.
I watched it.
On the DVDs.
DVDs. I watched it on and off. I didn't watch like the whole, I mean, I watched it. Like if it was on, I would watch it. Yeah. My wife was a big fan of it. And she actually used to have the DVDs. I believe we sold them. Maybe to your wife.
Yeah, that's how she got them. Yeah.
Wow, circle of life, brother. But anyway, I watched it occasionally. It was a great show on HBO, obviously.
Yeah, it was a really good show. One of those Soprano-type shows that put HBO on the map.
Exactly, Sarah Jessica Parker. Well, anyway, Cynthia Nixon was on that program.
Cynthia Nixon.
She was the redhead that played Miranda.
Yes. Very, she was the well-to-do one, the business lady, the level head. Her character.
She was kind of like the opposite of Samantha. Samantha was a little bit.
She was the what now?
An extrovert.
Extroverted.
Miranda was kind of an introvert. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the reason I bring it up is because Cynthia Nixon of Sex and the City fame is going to be running for governor.
Governor
of the state of New York.
Governor, not like a small
state of New York.
The governor, she's starting with the guy. She's been in politics for a while, has she? Or she's, I know she's been vocal.
She's been very active politically, but she really only got started in politics in 2014.
Yeah, okay.
She's
going straight for the governorship.
On a mayoral campaign, but she's running in a primary, and it's going to be against her fellow Democrat, who is the incumbent Mario Cuomo.
Okay,
who's a current governor, and if she were to somehow win this governorship, she would be the first female governor of New York.
Wonderful, good for her.
And she would also be New York's first openly gay governor.
I had no idea she was openly gay.
Yeah, LGBT.
Okay.
She is an Emmy and Tony winner, and obviously, like we said, famous from Sex and the City. How do you feel about? Did you watch any of her little?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I sent it to
you. Now.
You should check it out because
I need to go and I need to see kind of what she's saying and like.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you.
So I assume she's pretty liberal because I mean she's a homosexual artist and that tends to be more of a liberal.
No, she
crowd.
Definitely has those views. But what I was going to tell you is interesting that you said that because when I first read the story, when I saw the headline, you know, Cynthia Nixon of Sex and the City is running for governor, I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit.
Well, I mean,
I got
to
be honest.
Honestly, we tend to do that because I mean, okay, you're an actress. And you've gotten into politics and, you know, yeah, exactly.
But let me save myself here. But then when I saw her promotional video, if you will, or whatever campaign video, I kind of was like, this is kind of okay here. Like, I kind of liked her viewpoint.
All right.
And she had a lot of great things to say. And I don't want to use the word attacking, but she was criticizing the current administration there and how there's been a lot of corruption in New York and how they hasn't fixed the subway system. And now I'm not a New York resident, so I'm not going to be able to vote in this election. But if I were, even though Cuomo's Democrat, seeing her platform and also seeing what she would be able to do for other minorities like women and LGBT, I'd probably vote for her.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. And that's just after watching that 60-second little thing.
Oh, that's good.
Now, if I lived in New York, I'd be researching a little further and what's her background, that kind of thing. But I don't know. You should check it out.
I will.
It's a weird thing how, you know, she's a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, like we saw The Rock possibly running for president and Oprah and all that stuff. Yeah. And that kind of makes you roll your eyes a little bit. But if The Rock really dove in and really came up with policies and really had a platform, maybe it would be okay.
That's, you know, it's kind of weird. Just because you're an artist or just because you got famous doing one thing doesn't mean you don't have talents in other areas. Doesn't mean you have something to say, a voice, and ideas about how to move the country or the town or the city or, you know, the state forward. So, I mean, we should be open to hearing what they have to say. And I mean, I'm definitely open to hearing what she has to say.
So let's say you were the most giant Sex and the City fan in the world.
Okay.
And Miranda was your favorite character.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, you love Friends. Yeah. So who's your favorite character on Friends? What was your favorite character on the show?
I would have to say Matthew Perry, Chandler.
Okay. So if Matthew Perry announced that he was running for governor of North Carolina, and you didn't know shit about, I mean, he was Democrat, let's say. Let's just say that. Okay. But other than that, you didn't know anything about, are you voting for him just because it's Matthew Perry?
No.
Or are you looking into it first?
I'm looking into it.
So you don't let the popularity weigh you.
The popularity would force me to give him the benefit of the doubt, though. Because here's the thing. When somebody's on TV, when somebody comes into our home every week, we feel like we get to know them. We become vulnerable to them. And that makes us listen more. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, when you go in to listen to somebody, most people with Donald Trump, they never listened to him. And of course, when they did listen to him, they got put off because of what he said.
Right.
Because you have an inherent bias toward people. Right. So because I grew up with Matthew Perry, quote, because, you know, he was in my home every week, I'd be more apt to be open to listening to him.
Okay.
But I wouldn't vote for him just because it was Matthew Perry.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I'd want to get in there and go, okay, what's this guy have to say?
It's a lot of integrity there, brother. Somebody I know that you would vote for, probably regardless of their views, although you probably agree with a lot of his views because he's kind of turned it into be a bit spiritual, but we got to talk about him this week, is Jim Carrey.
Crazy Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey's the beginning for me. He was the first artist to inspire me.
I know you love him. You've said that on the show before. Yeah. I think you said you wanted Jim Carrey to play you in a movie about our podcast. Paul Giamatti.
He's been texting me. Exactly. He's been texting me. He's been calling me.
So listen, so Jim Carrey's been doing like caricature paintings for a while now.
Yeah, I follow him on Twitter. So I see, because I actually watched a special on him about his painting. He's been painting for a while. He's really talented painting for a while. But he does a lot of what you would call political cartoons.
Yeah, exactly.
So he does a lot of, and they're very colorful and they're very expressive. So
exactly.
Yes, I've been seeing those for a while now.
And they're basically, like you said, basically political cartoons.
Yeah, most of them are.
His most recent one, which just came out about a week ago, he put it on Twitter and Instagram. I don't know where he actually houses these paintings, but anyway, he puts images of them up on social media.
Exactly. Well, he has a loft in New York where he paints.
I got it. Anyway, he put up a portrait of, he didn't name it.
It's pretty obvious.
It looks a lot like Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Especially since he's obviously a opponent of the Trump administration.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of his paintings are of members of that administration.
No question.
Like, he's painted most of them. So
no question.
With that in mind and looking at it, you can assume. I mean,
So Sarah Huckabee Sanders, of course, is the current press secretary.
Yeah.
So Jim Carrey posted the image. Like I said, he didn't give it a name or anything like that. He just posted the image of this woman's face, kind of looks angry.
Looks
a lot like Sanders.
Looks like she's screaming.
And the caption says, quote, "This is the portrait of a so-called Christian whose only purpose in life is to lie for the wicked. Monstrous," unquote.
Okay, that's a statement.
What I wanted to ask you is, a lot of people were upset about his use of the word Christian, as they see it as an attack on her religion or on the religion in general. Others are just upset because, quote, "She is a real person with real children who have real friends and colleagues who respect her and her values." And then some see it as a sign of bullying, while others see it as a free expression of art. Your thoughts, brother?
Now, that is a big gray area when you talk about free expression of art. Now, first of all, political cartoons have been, in our culture since the beginning of politics. The New Yorker has them all the time. Now, usually political cartoons, they're not really bullying. They're more of making a statement. Now, is this a political cartoon? Well, most of his portraits are not really making political... they are making political statements, but they tend to be angry. They tend to be... I think he drew Trump one time as the Wicked Witch of the West.
He did, yeah.
So they're very angry. Are they doing anything for, our society? I don't think so. Are they an expression of his?
It's an outlet for him.
Exactly. Oh, and I can understand that. It's an outlet.
And a lot of his fans, I'm
sure. So that's the weird line. Like, can I put a billboard up saying Trump is Hitler?
Let me ask you this.
Can I do these things?
Let me ask you this. So I can't... Now, of course, you know this because I'm fucking the simplest idiot in the world, but I can't play an instrument. I can't sing. Okay. I rely on musicians that I love to allow me to express that. I listen to their music to give me that
outlet. And you connect to it.
So if I was a giant fan of art, I like art, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying if I was a giant fan of art and I went to museums all the time and all, but I couldn't paint, I would love to see images that expressed how I felt through other artists
and
that can actually do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Doing,
I can't do it. He can do it. And you could say the same thing for acting in a film or, if I say I'm not an actor, but I love, Tom Hanks in Philadelphia or like whatever. So it's kind of similar to me. And I feel like he has a right to express himself.
I think so. I always lean toward the freedom of expression. I always lean toward, because when you put something out there, like I said, a lot of people paint and express themselves artistically in a lot of ways that are against public figures. And we have to give them the right to do that in our society. Now, here's the thing, though. It's kind of odd, the feedback I've heard saying that it's anti-Christian. Yeah. It has nothing to do with that. All he said was, look at this so-called Christian.
Right.
What he's saying, that's actually a pro-Christian stance. Because he's saying, look, what I think a Christian is, this woman doesn't seem to be expressing that because all she's doing is lying for this administration that is the most un-Christian administration I've ever come in contact with.
Right.
So it's like, from what I've learned from Jim Carrey over the years listening to him, he has a large respect for religion. He actually paints Christ a lot. Mm-hmm. He has a large respect for religion. So he's not saying, hey, Christianity sucks. He's not saying that, look what these Christians are doing. He's saying, look at this so-called Christian.
Right.
Look at this woman who claims to be a Christian. I assume she does. And look what she's doing.
Yeah, there's so a weird...
He's drawing the dichotomy between someone who claims a religion but acts in a certain way.
Yeah, I've always...
That has nothing... That's not slandering Christianity at all.
I've always thought there was like a weird detachment from what the Christian ideals are and some of the things, especially in politics, that they actually promote.
And that's exactly what he's saying. Like, so when you come up against him and say, oh, why are you slamming Christianity? I'm not. I'm just saying that this woman calls herself a Christian, but she doesn't seem to be acting very Christian.
Right. She's defending him paying off a porn star, for example.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not very Christian,
so
in my opinion.
I kind of agree. When you put yourself in the public eye, you also make yourself available to criticism. And that has to be, especially in politics, we have to allow that.
I
don't know if Sarah Sanders... That's her last name, Sanders. Sanders. Yeah, Huckabee Sanders. I don't know if this would really bother her or her family. It's not that. Tell me this, Gerald. Would it be different if she drew her, like, if he drew her hanging from a noose?
Yeah.
If he drew her decapitated, then you're starting to say, okay, now it's violent.
Right.
But all she did, he
it's
did,
just
was
an
draw
angry
her with an angry expression, saying that I don't understand why you're defending this wickedness.
The only,
so I don't see a problem.
The only criticism I would have of it.
Okay.
Is that it's very, and you got to be okay with both, and that's the problem, mm-hmm, is that mm-hmm. people are only okay with the one that's on their side.
Of course.
But it's very, very similar to the artist that you mentioned earlier that drew Trump as Hitler.
Yeah.
For example.
Exactly. And they did the same thing with Obama. They were drawing Obama as Hitler.
Or if somebody, you know, if somebody painted Hillary as the Wicked Witch or whatever. I mean, it's the same thing. So it's like... You can't be selective in what makes you angry and what you're okay
and
with.
And that's the interesting thing. Is that's what kind of, I think, pulls back on the argument for most people, is that most people are just angry when it goes against something they believe in.
Basically.
You know what I'm saying?
Basically.
As soon as the word Christianity comes up or Christian comes up, all of a sudden people are coming out of the woodwork saying, well, you can't do that. Well, you can't do that. Well, what if the painting was against something you disagreed with? Would you mind then?
Right.
Because we have to allow it. We have to allow our criticism to criticize both sides.
All right. A couple more before we get into
I think that was a great example of you know, the argument for artistic expression.
Yeah. A couple more for before we get into our one deep topic. So Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Obviously the actor and kind of performance artist, if you will, has done a lot of crazy shit over the last 5-6 years.
Yes.
But he has
As an actor, I'm a big fan. I think he's
as an actor, he has a great catalog. Well, he's in the process of producing and starring in a new film that's going to be called Honey Boy.
Honey Boy.
Which was actually his nickname growing up.
Oh, good.
So here's a twist, bro. And I want to see what... When I read this, I kind of like had to do a double take and kind of had to read it again. But but Shia LaBeouf is so kind of out there that...
Yes.
But that it didn't really seem that weird to me in the second reading. The first reading, I was like, wait a second, what? So Shia LaBeouf is going to play his own father.
Okay.
In an upcoming movie based on his life. And not only that, Lucas Hedges, who's an actor that was nominated for an Oscar for Manchester by the Sea last year, is going to be playing opposite LaBeouf, playing Shia LaBeouf.
There you go.
What do you think when you saw this story?
But here's the thing about
Of all the actors to do it, though, it's Shia LaBeouf.
Here's the thing about Shia, though, that I kind of like. We can sit back and judge him based on what his artistic expressions are in comparison to other, you know, more popular Hollywood expressions, but... The guy is doing what he feels he should do. The guy is expressing himself. Now, we may think it's a very odd thing, but he also, I mean, he's honest and he does what he wants. And you got to respect that.
Let's see here. So in a movie loosely based on his own life, Shia will play his law-breaking, alcohol-abusing father.
Interesting. It's going to be very therapeutic for him, though.
The upcoming film centers on a popular child star who attempts to mend his relationship with his damaged father over the course of a decade. And like I said, it is loosely based on his relationship. relationship with his father.
Is it loosely, I mean, will the kid play like Shia, like in the movie his name will be Shia?
I don't know. That's what I don't know.
Or is it going to be a caricature?
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
But
it's
either,
gotta, like I said, though, it's got to be therapeutic for him.
But anyway, you know? It's crazy. You know, he had that weird thing last year where he got arrested and then he had like the racial rant. Did you see that?
Yeah, what was that about?
I can't remember if we talked about it on the show or not.
I remember talking about his You Will Not Divide Us.
Yeah, yeah. He had that thing as well in New York, I believe.
Yes, that was like a public thing. It ended up being pretty divisive.
But anyway, he got arrested for like a DUI or something last year. I don't have it in front of me, but I can't remember his quotes. But he was caught on the police cam, and it was like a bunch of racial epitaphs he was spitting out.
Really? Why?
Because he was drunk and saying shit that he, and I think the cop was black, so he was saying shit he shouldn't have been saying.
Oh, come on, man.
And obviously it was frowned upon. I don't remember.
Of course it was frowned upon.
Unfortunately, I don't have the quotes here, so I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was trying to recover from that too. But I mean, he's just kind of out there, brother. But I don't know why. I'm always kind of intrigued by him. I really am.
He's definitely interesting.
And in his movies, I always tend to like the movies that he's in.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part. All right, let's see. Last one.
Okay.
Ben Affleck.
Ben A.
We're on our entertainment. B-A. We're on our entertainment book in here. We're talking about these actors. It's not my Batman, brother. It's not Batman. He sucks as Batman. Batman is Michael Keaton. But nearly, let's see here. He's got a giant bat tattoo.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Bat tattoo?
Well done.
Or back tattoo.
Did I say bat tattoo?
No, that's not just
back tattoo.
He could be a bat.
I could have said bat tattoo. I don't know what I said. I often
fumbling over my words. Okay, so he's got a giant bat tattoo.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it, no.
Oh, I see. Dude, get with it. Get with your research of the show here.
I read the article about it. I didn't show the picture of it.
Well, the reason I thought you'd like it.
It
did show a picture of it. And the reason I thought you would like it is because the piece is a colorful image of a phoenix rising from the ashes.
Beautiful. Now, that's very symbolic. That's very symbolic.
It covers his entire back from his waist to his shoulders.
Ooh, nice.
He reportedly got the tattoo after he and Jennifer Garner split up in 2015.
Interesting. So he wanted it like, okay, I'm reborn. I'm of my relationship.
Here's what Garner said. So when asked about it, Garner said, quote, "You know what we would say in my hometown about that? Bless his heart."
That's a very positive way to criticize it. Bless his heart.
A phoenix rising from the ashes. Am I the ashes in this scenario?
No, your relationship is that.
I take umbrage. I refuse to be the ashes. Unquote, Jennifer Garner. So, I don't know, man. we'll get into it a little bit later as well, because I got a little loop for you that goes back to Ben Affleck. But a giant back tattoo? I don't know.
Do you know anybody with a giant back tattoo? Yeah. One of my best friends has a giant back tattoo.
Like, I don't know if I know like anyone.
And dragons and a village. It's crazy.
I don't know if I know anyone with one, but did I ever tell you the funny story about when I got my little Logan tattoo here?
Yeah.
I never told you that?
No.
So I was in a room, and they had two chairs in this room. Okay. The tattoo artist was kind of like doing both of us at the same time. Okay. He would do me for a minute, then we'd go over and do the other guy for a minute, and he just kind of came back. So I got this little, I know you can't see because audio, but I got this little tattoo that's maybe 2 inches long that just says Logan.
Yeah.
And it's just five letters and that's it, right? Real simple, black, no color.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Beautiful.
And the guy starts doing my tattoo.
This is your first one, right?
Well, no, I had my daughter one, but it had been like 10 years.
Okay.
So he starts doing my tattoo and I'm just like cringing in pain, bro. And I'm like,
oh my God, this is the
most painful shit that's ever happened to me. And meanwhile, there's this giant, just burly guy next to me, face down in a chair, just getting driven into with a giant back tattoo. And he's just sitting there like,
whatever.
Like he's just fucking, just like can't even feel it.
Eating an ice cream cone.
And I'm over there
eating an ice cream cone.
And I'm over there like grimacing, like, I can't show that this hurts because this guy is, whoa. But anyway, it was like 50 times more intricate than mine, but he was just sitting there like, yeah, man. This is what I do, you know?
Some people like tattoos. Some people like getting tattoos.
Some people
get
hooked into it, man. I mean, I like them, but I just got my kids, you know? It's got my kids here. Got my daughter on one arm, my son on the other arm.
Bam.
If I have another kid, I got to figure out where to put it.
Where are you going to put it?
I don't know. I got to figure it out. I guess I'll put it down here with Logan because, I don't know, it's a sibling, you know what I mean? We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get back to that.
You don't want
to
be the one child yeah, of Gerald who didn't have the tattoo. Like,
what
happened? I'm kind of over it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're special. You didn't get your tattoo, Abby. All right. Let's take our break, Andy. When we come back, we'll get into our one deep topic. More firings going on.
What?
Out of the White House. Can you believe it?
No way.
In a week, brother.
I'm shocked. Wait, it wasn't the person we predicted, though, because last week we predicted a firing.
Yeah.
But he wasn't on your list.
So neither one of us did it. All right, let's take our break, Andy. We'll be back in a minute.
Do you like movies?
Get busy living or get busy dying.
Mr. Anderson.
Life finds a way.
TV?
A girl has no name.
Soft kitty, warm kitty.
You didn't think I'd just disappear, did you?
Music?
Hello.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Girl, run the world.
Video games?
It's me, Mario.
Get over here.
Hey, listen.
If you love geeking out about your pop culture passions, See Here's the Thing may be the podcast for you. Join me and my co-host Patrick as we dive into a weekly digest of news clips about movies, TV, video games, theater, and more. Special guests, improv games, and terrible celebrity impersonations abound in our weekly episodes published directly on Podomatic. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, and Pinterest. See, here's the thing. It's where humor and pop culture collide.
Welcome back in, guys. Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 66, the double sixes.
The double six!
The double sixes. Right. Here we are. We're back in. We're going to talk about our one deep topic this week, Andy. I guess for maybe every week, we'll just report on the next person that got fired.
Okay, from now on.
The show will just be reporting who got fired that week.
This week in Trump firing.
Hey, I see what you did there. But the former deputy FBI, or deputy of the FBI, okay. Andrew McCabe.
Okay.
Andy McCabe.
Andy. Good old Andy.
Let's see. He got fired, brother. He's out of there. And what's interesting is they fired Jeff Sessions, of course, is responsible. He's the attorney general.
Oh, goodness.
Fired him 2 days before he was set to retire.
Days before, I think, his 50th birthday.
Yeah.
Which would mark him for receiving a certain amount of pension from the FBI. I think he's been with the FBI for 21 years.
Yep. Crazy, brother. Crazy.
20, come on. 2 days.
So, let's see. Sessions on Friday night.
Give him a break.
Sessions on Friday night accepted the recommendation that McCabe, who took the reins of the agency during the turbulent days after the abrupt firing of Comey, be terminated. It was 2 days before he was going to be retiring and receiving his full pension benefits. Though McCabe, who has been attacked by Trump, stepped down as deputy director in late January, he remained on the federal payroll, planning to retire on Sunday. This happened on Friday. Like I said, the firing places his pension in jeopardy. Do you know any of the background as to why he was recommended to get fired? I guess I'll tell everyone.
Yeah, please do. Because anytime anything happens within the Trump administration, I'm always confused.
Yeah, it's a little confusing.
Because there's so much.
It's a little confusing. So much. McCabe was questioned about conversations that FBI officials had with a reporter in October of 2016 regarding the FBI's investigation of the Clinton Foundation.
Okay.
That report, which was not made public, concluded that McCabe was not completely candid in answering questions about those conversations.
Okay.
The simplest way to put the basis of the recommendation for him to be let go was that he gave up too much information to the media.
Oh, okay.
To reporters.
Now,
a member of the FBI.
Does this have anything to do with the release of the email scandal right before the election?
Yes. They were investigating and reinvestigating Hillary's email scandal.
Because I know like a week before the election, got leaked to the media.
That's exactly
that
right.
The FBI was investigating Clinton.
That was exactly
and
right.
And some people say that that caused a huge shift in her momentum, which is interesting that Trump would be angry about that because, well, I don't know he'd ever admit it, but that helped him get elected.
That's exactly right. And what did not make it look better for McCabe is that his wife, Jill, ran for the state Senate in 2015 in Virginia, where they live. And she accepted a donation from a political action committee, which was a friend and supporter of Hillary Clinton's.
Okay.
And that became kind of the basis for Trump's attacks on McCabe and his wife at the time.
Yeah.
And then that's continued through, well, now.
Trump seems to attack anyone who has any ties to the Democratic Party. That seems to be one of his go-tos. Like, oh, it's so many Democrats.
I mean, he's always on the attack, brother. Yeah. And it's never...
That's a good way to put it. Always on the attack.
Here's one of... let's see when this was. I don't know. July. This was in July of last year.
Okay.
So here's one of Trump's tweets from July of last year. In regards to McCabe. He says, the problem is that the acting head of the FBI and the person in charge of the Hillary investigation, McCabe, got $700,000 from Hillary for his wife. And that's, like I said, in regards to what happened in 2015 during her campaign in Virginia.
Did he get it from Hillary for his wife or from a... from
it. That's what Trump did. He spun it. It was a supporter of Hillary's.
Yeah.
So it was someone that was in cahoots with Hillary, but not Hillary directly.
I wonder how many other people got money from that person.
Yeah, I know.
Like, how much money, like, you know, I mean, should, you know, with all these conversations going on with the NRA, should we really jump upon every person who gets money from the NRA? Well, you got money from the NRA. I can't support you anymore.
Right, right, right.
Which is kind of what's happening.
Right, you know? Right. And then while we're talking about Trump's Twitter real quick. So after he got fired on Friday, Trump tweeted, Andrew McCabe fired. A great day for the hardworking men and women of the FBI. A great day for democracy. Sanctimonious James Comey was his boss and made McCabe look like a choir boy. He knew about all the lies and corruption going on at the highest levels of the FBI! Exclamation point.
That's Trump is so
that's our president, dude.
Childish.
That is our president.
And me, I mean, I'm just going to say it, he's mean. Can't you have a little bit of self-respect and respect for other people's service and just let it go when someone gets let go? You know, thank you for your service, I'm letting you go.
So I got
he has to attack everyone.
So I got a couple other things here.
It's like 3 years old. It's like you gave your daughter your phone and she's just like, oh, I like unicorns and they smell like poop and you're ugly and have no hair.
I think he's actually tweeted that verbatim.
My goodness.
I got a couple other things here, but real quick, just spin off on it real quick. So what I was thinking about, I was actually standing and looking out my back door before you got here this morning. And I was drinking coffee and I was just existentially staring at the snow.
Existentially staring.
At the snow falling. And I thought to myself, you know what's interesting here when a situation like this kind of rears its head? And it happened with Tillerson as well. And the moron statement that Tillerson supposedly said. And this is similar with McCabe, too, because it's kind of a he said, she said type deal. What I realize is it kind of boils down to, and I want to ask your opinion to see if you believe this or if you had thought of this in the past, is who do you trust more, right? Do you trust the media who has served us for, well, for my whole life, or do you trust your president and the government that's supposed to be serving you? So, you know, his people like Sanders that we were talking about a minute ago. And that's kind of what it comes down to for me, because it's like, if... And you can be a Trump supporter, that's fine. I don't care if you're a Trump supporter. That's great. Vote for him again, whatever you want to do. Ride around your Confederate flag and do whatever you want to do. I don't care. But if you are to believe the majority of what he's saying, like on Twitter, for example, then you are obviously discrediting pretty much all media outlets, if you want to maybe exclude Fox News and Trump News. It's Trump News Network, which is rolled out apparently on online. But other than that, I mean, right? I mean, how could 50 media outlets, newspaper, TV, radio, are they all conspiring against Trump? Or do you think, like, I'll just throw a name out there. Do you think, like, CNN reports a story and then the other 49 outlets have to report it too, and they're kind of believing CNN sources? Or do you feel like they're all independently working on the behalf of the public? I kind of know what you believe, but do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, if you trust the media, which is, I mean, the media has been, I mean, I can remember the days of Walter Cronkite. I mean, they're honorable people here. You know, I mean, not all of them, but the majority of them are honorable people and they believe in what they're doing. So I trust them personally. I don't feel like CNN, NBC, NPR, Wall Street Journal, like, I don't feel like they're making up stories just to sell newspapers personally. Do you have anything you want to say about that?
The media is changing. That's true.
That's true, yeah.
But they've been with us for a long time. Now, all media is biased because all media comes with a perspective. However, I mean, Fox News is continually veering more and more and more toward outright stories above, you know, the story and their perspective above just the facts. But even Fox News, all of the mainline media has a certain standard. Now, their bias and their intention skews that standard a little bit and skews the way they deliver the information. But all news media has a standard they follow. Now, I'm not talking about getting into, like, what's Steve Bannon's...
Breitbart.
Right. I'm not talking about getting into those kind of on the edges news. I'm talking about mainstream news. Now, they've been with us for a while. They have standards. And yes, of course, stories catch fire and other news start, you know, they spin down other news stations report on them. But I'd like to think that because they've earned our trust over years and years and years, and they seem to have standards, they always interview, they always have facts to follow, they always have reporting to follow. I agree and I follow and I support the media. Now, that right. doesn't mean I believe everything they say. Now, I've been saying this for years, way before Trump, way before the stark divide. I've been saying that, you know, all news is biased and they're going to deliver the information that gets them the ratings. They have 10 stories. Which story do they talk about? They talk about the story that's going to get them the most ratings. Now, so already the news is biased. However, it's their standards and the information and the way they go about doing things. Now, when you look at the Trump administration and specifically Donald Trump, this is what the thing that I think most people can't wrap their brains around. When you get onto social media, when you get to a private person saying this is what I think, mm-hmm. they can say whatever they right. want to say
right.
without any kind of... Trump has no standards. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need information. He doesn't need reporting.
Right.
He just needs to tweet something. And he's allowed, as with freedom of the press, not press, with freedom of speech, he's allowed to say mm-hmm. whatever he wants.
Right.
Now, he has no standards.
Right.
He has no reporting. He just says stuff.
No.
And based on the things he says, I think everything Trump says is obviously self-serving. And that's the thing. You have to ask, what is the intention? Like, when you look at Fox News, the reason I take their reporting with a grain of salt, because I know they're a conservative news station. Mm-hmm. I know they have a certain intention and a desire, and that severely clouds their reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, MSNBC, these are, quote, liberal stations.
Right.
So they also have an agenda, which I tend to agree with, and that's why I tend to listen to them. But Trump... Everything he does is self-serving.
Right.
Everything. It's obvious. Now, that doesn't mean that everything he says is a lie, but it means that everything he does is completely self-serving.
Now, I will say...
that's why I don't trust him.
I agree with you for the most part, but what I will say with the media, too, lately, and really since Trump's America, I mean, maybe leading up to that during the election, mm-hmm. but definitely within the last couple of years... They're focused on the wrong shit. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they do that almost because they have to, because that's what people want, if that makes sense.
Oh, they
and I'm not yeah. saying it's untrue. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's stuff that's untrue. I'm just saying that it's not important or not as important. And when I say that, I really mean like his Twitter account, mm-hmm. like his personal life.
Yeah.
Like
they've gotten pulled in to Trump's level.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point.
And it's interesting because I'm the farthest thing from a Trump supporter. Like, just like I'm all the way on the other side from even remotely walking into the ballot box and checking his name. No shot in hell I'm doing that unless he's running against, well, maybe not even then. I was going to say Satan, but I'm not sure. Satan had some very unique ideas back in the day. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be voting for him anytime soon. But I've even come to a point where I don't want to hear, you know, again, I'll use CNN as an example, but I don't want to hear CNN report on Trump's personality or his Twitter account.
Yeah.
Not because I disagree with it, just because it's like I'm over it. You know, I don't even want us to have to talk about it. You know, we're doing a current events podcast, but it's like that's all that happens every week.
Yeah.
I mean, I just read that thing about McCabe getting fired 2 days before his pension.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of response, 21 years he served our country. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of response the president has for him getting fired. Like a celebration. Like,
and you know that's why he does it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just Trump. That's why everyone tweets, to get validation.
Yeah.
I want other people to like it, other people to read it, other people to retweet it. So the fact that people are talking about it every week, it gives him more, like every time Trump tweets, he gets more power.
Right.
Because he's gaining followers. And look what he's doing with, the administration. He's getting rid of anyone who disagrees with him.
Right.
He's creating his own powerful little, house on the hill.
Right.
And you're absolutely right that.
And it's also frustrating
to get into that. They get pulled into that battle.
And it's also frustrating because, if you want to include you and I in that, that's fine too, but I'm just saying people that report on him and talk about him in public,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to change anybody's mind.
Nope. No one's.
Nobody's mind's going to be changed. So if you and I are anti-Trump, that's going to stay the way it is. If people are supporting Trump, we've seen that's not going to change.
Nope.
I saw that
my wife saw her first Trump 2020 sticker the other day.
Yeah, I saw that he had his first like Keep America Great or something like that. It's going to be his new slogan. But anyway, I saw an evangelical group defended his affair with Stormy Daniels. I mean, they're not going to, nobody's going to watch CNN one day when they're sitting in the dentist's office, no pun intended, and go, yeah, wow, you know what? I am against Trump.
Yeah.
These guys really just turned me.
And that's the
following. I mean? And that's what's also frustrating. It's like you're just regurgitating this shit to the same audience.
And I think that's one of the directions the news media or this particular section of the media has gone into is that they're only serving their constituents because they're serving their ratings. They talk about what people will respond to. And people want to turn on the TV and be validated. Same reason with the Twitter and the Facebook. They want to turn on the TV and they want the media to validate what they already believe.
Yeah.
So MSNBC is only talking to people who watch MSNBC.
That's true, yeah.
And that's the problem. They're not making their decisions based on what's best for the country. They're not making their decisions what needs to be reported. They're making their decision based on...
who's watching.
Exactly.
Who's watching.
That's how it's been forever. I mean, that's how it's been.
Because
It's about ratings.
Imagine if Fox News... I mean, this is the craziest shit ever to think about. But imagine if Fox News ran a piece, a special or whatever, on the Obamas and what they've been doing in charities and stuff.
Ratings down.
I mean,
no one's going to watch
imagine
it.
Imagine the hate mail they would get. You know what I mean? And that's because nobody, mm-hmm. well, I won't say nobody, but a lot of people that watch Fox News, none of them are Obama supporters. I'm using Obama as an example.
Yeah.
But any kind of like liberal, if you want to call it liberal viewpoint, mm-hmm. if they were to share a story from that viewpoint, forget about it.
Yeah.
Like you saw Shepard Smith when he was, he's an anchor on Fox News, when he was kind of condemning Trump for his, I can't remember, he mm-hmm. attacked somebody on Twitter, of course.
Yeah.
And Shepard Smith was kind of condemning, he was attacking the media.
Yeah.
And Shepard Smith from Fox News was kind of condemning that. Yeah. And then he got a lot of backlash from Fox News watchers. And it's like, dude, he's just calling it like it is, brother.
That's honestly the big, war, I call it the war on information. The war on information that we are in the midst of right now. One of the main symptoms of that is that we all go get news where we, at the same places, we get it from what we agree with.
Right.
So we all are catered to by these news organizations. You go to websites, you go to the things, and that way none of us are challenged anymore. We're all getting the information we want. And so it's creating these stark divides. And guess what? It's not like it used to be. I mean, if I disagree with you, you're getting completely different information than I am.
Right.
So we can't ever have a conversation because we're being fed different information.
Okay, so special counsel Robert Mueller, who has been running the investigation into the Russia probe,
mm-hmm.
possible collusion. Of course, Trump said no collusion about 9,000 times in the last year, but for whatever reason, a lot of people think there was. But Mueller's team did interview Andrew McKay before he left the FBI, and there were memos, notes, if you will, taken of McCabe's interaction with the president and people close to him.
Yeah.
Mueller has those memos.
Yeah.
And also kind of the details around what happened with Comey, because of course Trump, you know, the FBI didn't recommend for Comey to leave. Trump just fired him.
Yeah.
The FBI recommended for McCabe to leave because of what happened with the reporters.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you, just yes or no, and of course we don't know, this is just an opinion, do you see Trump going out there and firing Robert Mueller?
I see him trying to.
I mean, he could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he could do it if he wanted to.
Well, because, I mean, look what he's done so far. He thinks he can fire anybody he wants to.
Yeah.
And in his mind, and that's the weird thing. Like, we look at it. We look at him firing Mueller thinking it's completely self-serving. Oh, my gosh. You're just trying to get rid of someone who's investigating you.
Exactly.
Of course. In his mind, it's not that way, I'm sure. In his mind, this guy is a threat to America because Trump is seeing the America he wants to see.
Uh-huh.
He thinks he's the best thing for us. So it's weird. In his mind, he's going to do whatever it takes to stay powerful.
I mean, that's a good point. I just, you know, my thing is, like, if you're innocent, if you're so innocent, if there's no collusion, then just let him do his investigation.
That's what you would think.
Right?
And see, that's the problem.
And that's why it just...
Because you would think that, well, if nothing happened, then say, okay, well, you know, there was no collusion, so you can investigate.
Yeah, it's like you're.
I'm open. You look at our conversations. Yeah. Look at my family. We're open.
It's like your girlfriend or your wife looking for your phone. If she thinks you cheated, if you didn't, just let her. I mean, she's not gonna find anything.
Yeah. If you say to your wife every day, "I did not cheat on you. I did not cheat on you. I did not cheat on you." Come on, you probably cheated.
Right.
Yeah.
If you have to keep like reassuring the world, like, yeah, I didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, brother. Let's take our last promo break. Come back. Wrap up on some fun. Mostly fun. Mostly fun. Pop culture stuff. We will be right back.
The Epic Film Guys podcast is a film comedy podcast with two best friends celebrating everything we love about going to the movies. We've got great beer, amazing guests, and quirky characters unlike anything you've ever heard before.
Well, I just assumed you were drinking that chocolate stout that you were going to make with the cheapest crap chocolate ice cream in a Miller Lite. I remember being a young man and my mother telling me I didn't have a name because I was illegitimate. I don't know what that word means.
Subscribe to the Epic Film Guys on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or your favorite podcast app. And we'll see you at the movies.
Welcome back in to Two Peas, episode 66.
Woo!
And we're going to wrap up here with some stuff in the pop culture world. Popular culture in the last
week. Popular? Oh, is that what that stands for?
think so.
This you always forgive say pop culture. This time you said popular culture.
I know,
culture.
I got refined this time.
Yeah, popular culture.
Listen to this, brother. Toys R Us is closing its doors after 70 years.
Toys R Us. What happened? Amazon's what happened.
70 years in the business, brother. It marks the end for a company that sold all kinds of toys, bikes, video games. Millions of American kids have just loved Toys R Us.
Do you think for a child today, it's equally as exciting going and surfing Amazon as it is to walk into a toy store?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, my son loves going. I mean, even Target, even. Anywhere where there's toys.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think it's equally as exciting for him just to surf online?
Oh, no. I thought you were saying the other way around.
Exactly.
No, yes.
Like, I don't think anything compares to walking into a toy store.
Yeah, like FAO Schwartz in New York.
I used to feel the same way about going to Best Buy and looking at the CDs.
Yeah.
Just going through them and saying, oh, I want this.
That's crazy, man. For over a half a century, Jeffrey, the mascot giraffe, invited children into the giant playhouse. Legions of adults who came to age in the 80s and 90s can probably still hum the jingle. I'm
Where
a Toys
a kid
R Us kid.
Can be a kid. That's Showbiz Pizza. I'm so sorry.
I was going to say you're kind of mixing your 80s jingles there, but that's fine. Yeah. I'm a Toys R Us kid. But they, like you said, they fell victim to basically Amazon and online shopping and also specialty retailers like Walmart and Target who sell a lot of the same toys.
Yeah.
But they're going to be shutting down or selling all 735 U.S. locations by the end of this year. It's the end of an era.
Toys
R
Us. It is.
We have one here in Durham. My son's been quite a bit. And Babies R Us is a part of Toys R Us. They've actually already closed.
I remember South Point. KB Toys.
KB's still around.
Yeah. They used to be in malls,
and,
like little ones.
And I think they might still be. But I told my wife when they announced this, I said, I hope KB lasts. I hope there's a toy store still.
Yeah.
Like a chain of toy stores.
You can take your child to. Yeah. You know what? Pick out something.
That's the thing, you know? It's a thing as a kid that you just... I mean, how sad... I mean, honestly, how sad would it be if, I don't know, fast forward 20 years from now, there's no such thing as a toy store?
No toy store.
That's just really weird, right?
Yeah, I guess everything... we're going to live in a culture where everything's shipped. Everything... Because we live in the age of convenience. And that's the thing.
But from a child's mind...
But that's the thing. Kids don't think in convenience. Adults do. Mm-hmm. So we're not getting rid of the toy stores because kids want to. We're getting rid of the toy stores because adults want to.
Yeah.
You know, because we want convenience. We don't want to take our kid to the toy store. We want to order
it
online.
Yeah, we did this.
Yeah, we...
I mean, the population did this.
Yeah, of course.
Because they're not going here as frequently.
It's different. Like, walking into a toy store is just different.
I know. I agree. Especially from a child's perspective. Yeah. All right. Speaking of children, Willy Wonka, one of my favorite movies ever.
Ah, Willy Wonka. Did you like the newer one with Johnny Depp?
It was okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it can't be Gene Wilder.
But you can't recreate that magic. Yeah. But Gene Wilder was just amazing in that.
Gene Wilder.
So a former Willy Wonka star, a star from the film, one of the young kids in the original Willy Wonka, his name is Paris Thiemann, showed up on Jeopardy as a contestant.
What?
Didn't announce it. Didn't say who he was. You know, Trebek goes around and asks for people's, you know, background and, what they do.
And asking him, like, oh, by the way, I was in Willy Wonka.
No, nothing. He didn't say anything about it. People on Twitter noticed it. And they Googled his name because, you know, he had his name on the show on Jeopardy. So he played Mike TV. So he actually was on TV
in
Jeopardy. The former actor, who is now 58, played young TV and cowboy enthusiast Mike TV in the classic 1971 film, and he kept his Hollywood pass a secret when he appeared on Jeopardy last Tuesday during the portion of the show when Trebek asked him about their personal lives. He just said that he was an entrepreneur and an avid backpacker.
Okay.
But
did he have a career after that, after Willy Wonka?
No, I don't think so. Okay. Not in TV or film.
Okay.
But didn't take long for sharp-eyed viewers to recognize him as Mike TV from the Ronald Dahl book that the movie is based on. And they started tweeting about
Wonderful.
It.
Wonderful.
But yeah.
I'm surprised they would recognize it because that's a pretty awful
I know.
Path.
That's a weird... You'd have to be like an aficionado of Willy Wonka. I would have known.
And that's the thing. There's so many people in the world, you know, watching so many shows.
Yeah.
There's always someone who goes, hold on.
Yeah. Well, don't I know you?
Yes. Let me look at my Willy Wonka
now,
fan catalog.
Now, if it had been a giant blueberry chick, I would have noticed her.
Hey, hold on.
You look a lot like Veruca Salt, brother.
Yeah, you're still a giant blueberry.
I can't believe you haven't lost any weight over the last 40 years.
They never juiced her.
They never juiced her. She's rolling around to Jeopardy sets and everything. All right, listen. Did you get a Snuggie? You have a Snuggie? Do you own one? You know what a Snuggie is?
Absolutely not.
You don't?
I'll never get a Snuggie. Never. Well, I am avidly against Snuggies.
Let me ask you about snuggling in general.
You know what? It's a blanket with arms in it. Just get a blanket.
That's accurate.
Get a blanket. I don't want to wear a blanket like a...
I kind of do. Let me ask you about snuggling in general.
I love snuggling.
Do you like getting warm on the couch and toasty around the fire?
Dude, light a fire, put a blanket on. I love that. But
what are you doing? Are you spooning or are you the spoonie? What are you doing?
I spoon.
You spoon?
I spoon. You'll see.
Well, yeah.
You'll see.
I know what you do for the podcast. I meant like it. I meant like when you're snuggling.
We go back and forth, but I usually spoon her.
Wow. You're the spoonie sometimes. Yes. I see how you do that.
Yeah, but we go both ways.
You know what? I kind of want to be the spoonie, but my wife won't spoon me. I kind of want to be the spoonie so she can do it. Because, you know, it's weird when you spoon to put that arm there. Kevin Smith talked about that in one of his movies.
Eventually, the arm goes asleep.
It's like, where am I going to put this arm? You know, I got to put it up over my head. I got to put it under my ass cheek. You know,
you put it underneath the pillow, but then it falls asleep.
So I kind of want to be the spoonie, yes. Because then she has to worry about
that. Psychological as well. Like, you feel like you always take care of her. You want her to take care of you.
See?
Yeah, cuddle me.
See?
Yeah. I want to feel
maybe
protected.
That's why I'm.
I want to feel protected.
Maybe that's why I'm cuddling more, because she takes great care of me. So maybe that's why I'm spooning more. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that's really all I give her, spooning.
That's it.
Give her nothing else.
I'll spoon you.
Did I tell anybody what we're talking about yet? Okay, so the Snuggie had to
pay. Do you have a Snuggie?
I don't, but I do have a lot of blankets, brother. And you see me in my robe.
Yes.
I kill the robe, brother. Now, if Snuggie came out with a robe where I could, like, you know, let my dinghy hang out, I'd be doing my Snuggie robe, brother. Because I got to walk around the house, let it fly, buddy. Let him home by myself, brother. Hey, if you can't be comfortable in life, what are we living for? Am I right?
I'm going to have to go now.
If we can't sit out.
This was episode 66. Y'all have a good night.
If we can't sit out in the snow and read books, what are we living for, exactly, brother? That's
exactly.
You see what I did there? I did association for you.
Association.
All right. So let me please fucking tell people. So the Snuggie, a company called All Star Marketing Group, which marketed the Snuggie.
The Snuggie.
Had to pay out $7.2 million in a lawsuit.
Wow. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of Snuggies.
Since 1999 for misleading advertising. The Federal Trade Commission claims that All-Star promised you buy one, you get one free deals on their product, but they did not disclose all the additional costs that were included.
That's classic TV advertising.
Yeah.
You order now and you get a second Snuggie for free.
Yeah, but you had to pay like $20 shipping and all this shit, so you really didn't get it for free. But because the ordering process was so confusing, some customers also were charged for more products than they actually wanted, said the Federal Trade Commission. Buyers should receive their refund checks within a month, and they must be cashed within 60 days.
Snuggie recipients.
Hey, snuggle with the check when it rolls in.
There you go.
That'd be fun.
All right.
Either that or if money's no object, you throw it on the fire, brother.
Yeah.
A little kindling. Either way, you win. Either way, you win.
It's a win-win.
I just want to report this. Okay. I almost feel bad. But honestly, the reason I want to report it is because the ratio of children here kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Okay.
But Donald Trump Jr. and his wife, Vanessa, have filed for divorce. Did you see that?
Ooh, yes. See I that? Did see that.
So Don Jr.
Don Jr., DJ.
He's a piece of work, huh? He'll always have elephant hunting. He can always do that. But Vanessa Trump, his wife, filed for divorce. Now, hey, listen to this, dude.
Okay.
After 12 years of marriage.
12 years?
And five children.
Five children.
What's the math on that, brother?
That's a child.
That's a child a year, dude.
2.5 years?
No, that's more than that, brother. That's a child and a half, like every child and a half. What am I talking about? That's a child every year and a half-ish.
No, right? No more. More than 2 years. Because if you had a child every 2 years,
every
it'd be
2 years.
It'd be 5 and 10 years. 5 and 10.
It'd be six.
Yes.
It'd be six. Every 2 years, it'd be six. So it's a little more than every 2 years. Yeah. That's a lot of kids, brother.
But 9 month gestation period, you're talking about being pregnant a lot.
There's a lot of kids.
Yes.
I mean, she's basically pregnant her whole life, her whole marriage. Jr.
That's probably why she's divorcing him. I don't want any more kids.
All right, last one, brother. So we talk about weird shit that we're going to taste on the show. We haven't done any of it
yet.
But Sonic. I love Sonic, by the way. Fast food joint.
You like Sonic?
I do.
You pull up on your roller skates?
We don't have enough. We don't have any in Durham, I don't think, actually. But maybe we do.
That's the one you eat in the car, right?
You can. They'll bring it out to your car. It's like a drive up or roll up thing. Yeah.
That's exciting.
I love being served food and people on roller skates, you know? I don't know. It's just
you just don't want to get out of your
car. It's
like
an old timey thing.
Like, you know what? I can stay in my car, eat cheeseburger.
Anytime I can not move, that's the best. So Sonic is
Siri, take me to a restaurant where I don't have to move out of my car.
They do this thing where every summer they do new slushies.
Okay.
Like milkshakes and slushies.
I love a slushie. My wife used to get the grape Sonic slushie all the time.
We'll get ready for this one.
All the time.
So this summer, for the first time ever.
I'm very excited.
I don't think you are.
I'm very excited.
For the first time ever.
Let's do it.
They are doing a Sonic dill pickle slushie.
No, thank you. Why? Why, Sonic? Why?
So on Friday.
Are you going to drink this? Are you going to drink the dill pickle?
No, I would taste it, but I don't think I can make it through a whole one.
Who wants a dill pickle slushie?
I mean, apparently people do. I don't know. I'm assuming
why?
They tested
why?
This. On Friday, the fast food chain revealed that it's releasing a pickle juice slushie this summer.
They just run out of ideas.
And it will likely be available in restaurants by early June.
Yuck.
The VP said, quite simply, pickle juice is fun. Nothing says summer like a Sonic slushie. unquote.
I agree with that. Now, Sonic slushies are delicious.
There you go, bro.
I like pickles, but I don't want a dill pickle fable slushie.
You're not feeling it.
I don't want.
I understand. You ready for your loop?
I am.
Now, listen, we're going to go back to Ben Affleck. Not my Batman, by the way.
He has Michael Keaton. He has a big Keaton. Bat tattoo. Huge bat tattoo.
I don't think that's accurate. I think we said it was a phoenix. What did you say it was originally? You didn't know it was a phoenix. You said it was like a cardinal or some shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Remember that? You said it was like an owl.
Owl?
When we first... And people were tweeting at us, they're like, it's a phoenix. Because you were like trying to think of the story, and you were like, what's that thing that rose from the ashes? And I didn't know what you were talking about. Yeah. I still don't. But Ben Affleck clearly does. So he has the phoenix rising from the ashes on his entire back, okay?
Beautiful.
So your loop...
Very therapeutic, by the way.
I doubt it. So your loop is, if you had to get a back tattoo, what would it be?
Okay, does it have to be as big as my whole back?
It'll take up your whole back.
If I had to get a back tattoo, what would my back tattoo be? I think I would cover my back in religious symbols.
Yeah. Just a bunch of different ones?
Oh, just a bunch
all the religions.
Yeah, like all of them. Like I'd get a cross.
Of course.
I'd get the Buddhist wheel of law.
I don't know what that means.
I'd get the sacred om.
Sounds beautiful.
I'd get the yin and the yang.
That's what I would get too.
I would get the Celtic knot. I would get so many cool religions. I'd get the moon and the star from Islam. I'd get all the religions. Like my back covered with a montage of religious
symbols.
You'd just
be just a spiritual image walking around. Beautiful. You already are that.
Yes.
But now your
all
back,
over my back.
Now your back would be that as well.
Ouch. Yeah.
And then if you were standing next to Ben Affleck, that'd be a really deep scenario.
What about you? What would you get on your back?
Mine is
the whole back. It's got to cover the whole back.
Now listen, now you just went deep, brother.
Okay.
And you just went very spiritual that was a good one.
Okay.
Mine, I would have a giant shrug emoji. Just, you know, a shrug. Like, I don't know why I did this, but here it is.
Yeah, that's good. That's deep. That's deep. That's because it
first thing that came to mind, brother.
It covers your personality as well. I mean, that's how you face life.
First thing that came to mind.
Yes.
Shrug emoji. I don't know why. I guess I feel like I thought of that because I guess I feel like I would never get a back tattoo. Oh. And I'm talking about like even just a little one on my back.
Yes.
So...
Back tattoos, I mean, they're...
tramp stamps and all that. You know, remember the tramp stamps? Back in the 90s, brother. Yeah. Jersey Shore, baby. I apologize to all of our listeners with tramp stamps. I apologize. I didn't give it that name. That's
like
just the name.
The lower
it was
back
adopted.
Tattoo is sexy.
It's
lower
okay.
Tattoo,
yeah, it's okay.
A lower back tattoo.
It's okay. It depends on what it is, I guess. But
do you have a lower back tattoo?
I don't.
Hey, if you have a third child, we get his name or her name on your lower back.
I will not do that to my child, brother. I don't know if I have another child, I'll put it on my arm somewhere. I don't know. I have to figure it out.
On the biceps.
I fit it in. But on the biceps would be too big, brother. Just kidding. I'm weak. I'm just kidding. All right, man. I'm bringing Flamin' Lips back in, brother. Which is ironic because you have flaming lips, my friend. Give me your final thought for episode 66.
My final thought has to do with information. Get your information from everywhere. Don't just go to the places you agree with. Look around you and let the whole world in. Get your information, get your news, get your entertainment from all different sources. Seek to be challenged. That's the only way you're going to grow. Don't just listen to people you agree with. Listen to people you disagree with. Go to news stations. Like if you hate Fox News, go to Fox News once a week and just listen to it for a while. Be challenged. Challenge yourself. That's what information is all about.
I love it, brother. I love it. Hope you guys enjoyed 2P's episode 66.
66!
We'll be back next week, Andy. We'll do 67 for the people of the world.
I think we can do it
brother,
for
the people of the world.
Let's see who Trump fires next.
That's what I was going to say. We will report on the next exit from the White House, which is bound to happen.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, though. We'll talk about whatever it is.
You never know.
All right, Andy. I will see you next week, brother. Thanks for being here.
Be
careful out there in the... I don't know, what's that, snow now? It turned to rain. I don't know what it is.
It's raining.
I opened the window behind you so you could have a view.
Oh, thanks, man.
You didn't even fucking look at it.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful day.
All right, man. I'll see you next week.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.